So good news. First Service appreciated this as well. I have a very short and simple homily for you this morning. It's my hope that its brevity will actually be helpful to you, not just because it's going to get you out of church sooner than you expected, but instead what I actually hope is that it's going to make space for you and for what I talk about today, that because of its brevity, because of its simplicity, you would be able to fill in your details, the details of your story, your heart and your mind, and that you would make these reflections that I am bringing today yours. Orthodox Christians use a beautiful phrase, memory eternal, as an exclamation that those that we love who have departed this life will be remembered by God forever. And thus they do not disappear or fade away as the world thinks or fears, but they're held by God who is infinite and unchanging and who promises to raise to life again everyone who has fallen asleep in Christ. This weekend we find ourselves in All Hallowtide. It's a season in the life of the church and our faith where we take intentional time to remember the faithful dead, martyrs, saints, and all of our beloved whom we pray for every Sunday with the certain hope of resurrection. As Christians, we believe that our God is a God of the living, that there's a powerful spiritual connection between the church militant, those of us who are living out our faith here and now, and the church triumphant, our brothers and sisters who kept the faith and are now absent from the body but present with the Lord. And the reason why all of this matters, why we have this specific time of remembering, is because through it we can put into practice imitating those who have imitated Christ. We can look at the trajectory of countless human lives that bear witness to the transformative power of Jesus Christ. We can learn what it means to be faithful even to the end. It's especially on this weekend that the words of Hebrews 12, they take on a particular gravity. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This morning, keeping in mind I'm still going to be brief, I want to split these verses into three sections. Again, hopefully to leave you inspired and encouraged to live a renewed life, one in which you are compelled to follow Jesus in order to imitate him. And in so doing, you all might chart a course that others who are yet to come may follow and imitate in the future. So let's get right to it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. There's a sense of mutual recognition, encouragement, and support between the church triumphant and the church militant. And together, we are all the church universal, called and sustained by our faith in Jesus. Jesus is the deep abiding connection that all of us share. And it's precisely this connection that spans centuries and continents, languages and cultures, that is an expansion to an even greater reality than we can imagine, a fuller life. Our predispositions and our biases, they're challenged by the lives and testimonies of those who have come before us. They show us how to better endure against temptation, hardship, apathy, fear. Most importantly, this heavenly participation that we have together, it's a reassurance that we do not walk alone. We have not begun down a path that we must tread solo. You see, there are countless others who love us, pray for us, and want to see us finish well. The stories in Scripture and the lives of the saints, they're just like the stories that we share together with our friends and our families when we gather. They're uplifting tales that are meant to inspire and to bring joy and encouragement and hope. You see, it's because of all saints, and it is with all of the saints that we continue looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, faced his death, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. We cannot hope to navigate the life of faith without keeping our eyes fixed upon Jesus. We must continually look to him to remember what it was that first stirred this faith within us. We must continually look to Jesus to stir up our hearts when they're compelled to find another love, another joy, another purpose in this life. We must continually look to Jesus to remember that we can find joy in this life, even amidst the suffering, that we can despise the sin and the shame and the guilt that seeks to rob us of that joy, and that we can endure the cross, our suffering, and our death, because we know that it means perfecting within us this pearl of great cost. And we also know when we look to Jesus that he is risen and glorified, sitting at the right hand of God, and even now joining in with that cloud of witnesses to still intercede on our behalf. You see, Jesus in his goodness and love towards us has not ceased in his service to us. We are always and still beneficiaries of his grace. And as that grace wells up inside of us, we're able to do something. We can consider him who endured from sinners hostility so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. I've said this before, said it many times. God has gone before us. There is nothing that Christ calls us to that he has not first faced and lived himself. In Christ and in the lives and testimonies of our brothers and sisters who have followed him and imitated him before us, we find example and encouragement to press in and to press on, so that we might also gain a share of that same joy that was before Christ. Peter says this in his first letter. It's in a section that's appropriately called A Living Hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for us, who by God's power is guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have only seen a glimmer of what God has prepared for those who love him. We often think of our salvation as this one and done decision, or it's a proclamation that we make in the church. But there is something more grand and more unimaginable that is yet to be revealed. And we can draw upon that inheritance that's held for us in Christ to access grace and mercy in our times of need. Our salvation, it's a limitless resource that's held by God, and that through our prayer we can receive for our good and for the good of others. It's already yours. Will you not go to him in faith, in love, in boldness, to see it, to know it, to trust it, and to deeply experience it? So that in this you may rejoice, though now for a little while you do have to suffer various trials. so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, which though perishable is tested by fire, may rebound to praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I talked a moment ago about that pearl of great price that is within us. You see, in the economy of God, our faith, that is our trust in the character and goodness of God, is the most valuable thing. Because it is in trusting God that we are able to love Him. Trust allows us to both release and receive. To let go of the things in this life that hinder us and to take hold of the life that God is offering to us. This imperishable faith, hope, and love, it's what God desires because it is the intimate and inalienable bond that links our humanity and His divinity. What that means is that without having seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with unalterable and exalted joy. Because the outcome of your faith is to obtain the salvation of your souls. Salvation is redemption and reconciliation, and that by nature is communal. We tend to think sometimes of salvation in the context of our own souls, our own lives, but we are also all saved together. The salvation of our souls is not just for our own good, but for the whole world. And in the book of Romans, it says that our salvation is actually for the benefit of the whole cosmos. Everything and all of creation is waiting to see this revealed in us and for us to walk in it. That's why we take several days a year for All Saints. Because it's this hope, this kingdom reality of on earth as it is in heaven. God dwelling with His people. The ones He loves and gave His life for. And that love can take root in us, here and now. And it draws us and it binds us to one another in beautiful, faithful friendships that, remember, will last forever. And listen to how this section ends. This challenge, this both and that we're becoming more accustomed to in our faith. If we endure, there are things that we will receive in this life. That's true. That's good. And it will also be true that we will find ourselves like the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be ours. And who searched and inquired about this salvation. They inquired what person or time was indicated by the Spirit of Christ within them when predicting the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glory. And listen to this. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. And the things which have now been announced by those who preached the good news and the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Our faith in Christ, our good works, our devoted lives can be, and I hope and pray will be, our service to those who are coming behind us and after us. The communities that we build, the churches that we attend, and the good works we perform, they're serving everyone who has yet to find light in the darkness. Those who are spoken about in Hebrews 2, subject to lifelong bondage because of their fear of death, their fear of the loss of self, the loss of control, the loss of whatever temporal thing they hold most dear. But the people of God are told again and again in Scripture, do not be afraid. To place our hope and our trust in the one who has conquered sin and death. To imagine and even begin building a new reality for ourselves. In a world in which we can taste and see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and we entrust ourselves in our due time to God's memory eternal. And it's that surety in Christ that I want all of us to become people who will love and serve and shape those around us. Let us be known by our love. Let's be known by our courage and our bravery. Let us be known by the living fruit that we bear in our lives. And so on this year's All Hallowtide, I encourage you to think of all the people, alive and departed, who have shaped who you are. Those who have come alongside you in your sorrows and in your joys. Those who have given of themselves for your benefit. And in thanksgiving, let us all remember the Lord Jesus, who binds us all together in his body, so that nothing and no one is truly lost. Amen.